Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Please state the name or number.
The Drive with Bob and Jeff. Dial 869-1240.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
The Drive on KFH.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Top 100 in order.
We have come finally to the top 20 on Jeff's 100 favorite songs list. Weighing in at number 20, Journey with Lights.
Oh, yeah.
Only 19 more.
Why Jesse, do we fade out so quick?
Jesse, because we're so also sick of this.
Really?
That
Journey? Well,
Jesse Newell joins us from the Kansas City. He's even sick of it, and he doesn't listen. Hey, Jesse.
Oh, I can't say that.
That's you're very kind.
You.
We appreciate that. Okay, let's cut to the chase. These are the kinds of stories that make my head hurt. They're obviously important. They obviously have ramifications, but they're not good for anyone, especially in the sport of college basketball. So describe what's been going on this week and how it potentially could affect Kansas.
Yeah, I think you're not alone with the making your head hurt, and you're trying to get details, you're trying to figure out what everything means, and it's very difficult to have an informed opinion and try to kind of piece everything together when you're getting information in tweets and bits and pieces, and this trial is not something that's televised or something that we can all look at. The biggest thing, I think we'll just kind of start with a big grand view of this. Obviously, in the federal trial in New York, I kind of been likening this to collateral damage for Kansas, because this court case is basically the government trying to say that these Adidas representatives defrauded KU and other schools like that. So they're trying to prove that the schools here are the victim. And the defense here is trying to basically say, hey, these schools aren't victims. They're taking advantage of, you know, Adidas or whoever paying money because they're getting these athletes and they're winning basketball games. And so you have this court case going on, and as they're trying to basically prove there are two different things, what I all call collateral damage is they discuss these situations that happen on the stand, and what happens there very much could affect KU down the line when it comes to, you know, eligibility issues or future NCAA violations, those sorts of things. So it's kind of interesting because it's like one thing is playing off over here, but the details of that could play off in the NCAA and doing it different things. But the two of the main things to kind of know here, for Kansas, the biggest deal just as a program is whether there's anything tying KU, when I'm talking about KU, I'm talking about Bill Self, Curtis Townsend, assistants, staff members, to the paying of these athletes. And so far what we've heard from testimony and what we've heard from people on the stand, including this TJ Gasnola, who was kind of like a bag man, they call him, you know, an Adidas employee who runs around with money and gives it to Sylvia DeSosa and Billy Preston, that sort of stuff. He has said that KU, that Bill Self, Curtis Townsend have not been involved with that. So in that instance, so far, KU has come out looking good through what has been testimony. Basically, he has said that he paid this money to some KU athletes without KU's knowledge. Now, he is the government's witness, and the government is trying to say that KU was defrauded. So you can understand why he's saying this, because that's basically what he's trying to plead down to in this court case. Is he's trying to help out the government and their cases to try to say that KU is defrauded. The second part of this is looking at both Billy Preston and Sylvia DeSosa. Now, there's been a lot of stuff come out today about Billy Preston. I'd encourage everybody to go read our story at kansas.com or kansas.com down there in Wichita about the details of how his mom got paid, you know, what the payments were, all those sorts of things. But you have to remember, Billy Preston did not play in a regular season game for Kansas. So really, his situation, while the details are interesting, it's not very relevant when it comes to KU, you know, vacating Final Fours, vacating wins. He didn't play for Kansas. So KU kept him out of all competition. There's really no punishment to be had there. For Sylvia DeSosa, though, he's still on the team. And Bill Self said, you know, as recently as yesterday, that they're going to continue to act like he's going to be a player this year for Kansas. And so some of those details coming out are relevant, because if KU continues to maintain that they're going to play Sylvia DeSosa, then all these details that come out in trial, whether the NCAA takes those and says, hey, this is a violation, this is something he shouldn't have taken, that can affect his eligibility and in turn could impact KU playing with what could be perceived as an ineligible player down the line. Again, the worst thing that could happen is you vacate victories, you vacate championships, you vacate a Final Four, all those sorts of things. So today with Silvio, Gasnola testified on the stand that he gave Silvio's guardian $2,500, and that was for online coursework. He also said that a Maryland booster had paid DeSosa $60,000 to go to Maryland, and that they were requesting money from him so that they could switch the commitment to Kansas. He said he did not give Silvio and his guardian any more money other than that $2,500. However, having said that, receiving $2,500 from someone is, you know, in terms of just looking at this from a big picture view, that's an NCAA violation if the NCAA wanted to pursue that. So for Kansas, I think the biggest thing looming right now, and while the testimony that's happened, is how is this going to affect KU, and how is it going to affect KU in terms of Sylvia DeSosa and then still maintaining that he's going to play the season. So I know there's a roundabout way to get there, but it is a confusing mess. There are lots of details. We're not even there right now, so it's kind of hard to parse all this down. But I think the biggest pressing matter for Kansas at this point is not what the program did in terms of them paying players, because nothing has been proven to that extent that KU was involved with that. But it's more towards, hey, what is being alleged against Sylvia DeSosa and what will be his status with the team moving forward.
Is this all new information, Jesse? We're talking about two players whose eligibilities were in question all or most of last season. I assume this is all not related to that, but is it just kind of coincidence that these two players are coming up and they happen to be the players who were ineligible for part or all of last season?
Yeah, this is kind of what we're getting back to with you know, the confusing part about all the information that's going on. So the FBI had released an indictment and a superseding indictment last year, and they had alleged some of the things already against Billy Preston and Sylvia DeSosa. So some of these things you've heard before, they alleged then that Billy Preston's mother accepted $100,000 from Adidas representatives. So again, some of these details you're talking about, they are that, what the FBI had already alleged, you know, against some of these Adidas execs that they had paid Billy Preston's mom in this case. But the thing now is, like, what today's testimony is, they are, you know, interviewing and cross-examining the actual person who paid her and getting more detail. So it's like, it's kind of like the rest of the story. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that this has really much impact on KU because Billy Preston didn't play for KU. But again, there's more details out there. Like, you know, today it was released that KU found out that Billy Preston's car. I remember talking on this show about Billy Preston's car. What's going to become of that? Well, it was registered to his grandmother in Florida, his dead grandmother in Florida. And so KU's compliance department found that out. And in finding that out, they also did a little bit more research and found out that Gasnola was wiring payments to Billy Preston's mother. So they started to investigate that. And again, that's some detail that had never been released by KU Athletics throughout this whole process. But it's just more background information that we didn't know at the time and would make more sense now why the NCAA didn't clear Billy Preston to play last year. I mean, if you had evidence, or KU was turning in evidence to them, or there was some inclination that the mother of the player was getting wire payments from somebody, then yeah, he shouldn't be an eligible player. But some of these other things, like with DeSosa, that $2,500 payment from Gasnola to his guardian, Fenny Falmain, that had not been released until today. We'd heard from FBI documents and superseding indictments that it had been alleged that Maryland had paid him $20,000, and then he had received $20,000 to pay back Under Armour, you know, because he wanted to go to Kansas, those sorts of things. But the $2,500 is kind of a new development here. And once again, it's kind of on the range of I don't know what the punishment is and how much the NCAA is going to go after the guilty parties here. And not only that, I mean, if you look back to past examples, if you remember, like Josh Selby, he took some money. If you remember, they took a loan. I think it was around $5,000. He sat out 9 games. Darnell Jackson, same thing. You know, he was found to have taken about $5,000 worth of stuff. He had to pay the money back and sat out 9 games. So I don't know where $2,500 really ranks on the scale of things. If KU just wanted to go ahead and self-report this and say, hey, okay, what's the punishment, NCAA, that sort of thing. But that is a new development today that until this point, you hadn't had somebody testifying in federal court that they had given the money to his guardian and that transaction actually taken place. So we'll see where it goes from here. And again, without documentation, without wiretaps, all that stuff, you wonder if the NCAA can actually even pursue this, because, I mean, it basically is TJ Gasnola's word against somebody else's word here. But if there is documentation to back that up, which maybe there is, maybe there isn't at this point, then you could definitely see a path where this could be a little bit stickier for Sylvia DeSosa than maybe what you would have thought even 24 or 48 hours ago.
Jesse Newell with us from the Kansas City Star. And I guess I'm interviewing you, and I guess one of the questions that I would ask, you say that Billy Preston never got into a game for Kansas, therefore he would not affect any kind of potential penalty against Kansas. Yet they recruited him, and it was during the recruitment of Billy Preston that some of this stuff is alleged to have happened. It's your assertion, Jesse, that that couldn't be a part of that, that couldn't be punitive against Kansas?
Well, I think it's difficult to talk about this without maybe going into the larger picture of college basketball, because
I don't want you to I don't want your brain to explode while we're talking. So
yeah, I know exactly, because here's the deal: a lot of times when we're talking about this, we're going to talk about the two words everybody seems to throw around, and it's true. It's plausible deniability. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If we're being honest with ourselves, okay, if we're being honest with ourselves, with the coaches of these top programs, okay, Arizona, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, I mean, go down the line, Michigan State, whatever, pick whatever program you want, whatever shoe company you want. Is it possible or is it probable that these coaches had no knowledge that the shoe companies are paying these athletes? I mean, it's probably not probable. You know what I'm saying? It's probably not probable that all of these coaches had no idea that their players were getting paid by Adidas representatives or Nike representatives, all those sorts of things. But what you're looking at here is the plausible deniability. Is there something that links them directly to these payments? And so I think that when you're in a court of law, or when you have wiretaps, or when you have acquired text messages or acquired emails from the FBI, that is what you're looking at. It's like, is there something that directly links KU basketball or KU basketball's coaches to these payments? Is there something that says, and this is hypothetical, this has not been proven to happen. I mean, the example would be like some of these assistant coaches that have been talked about. You know, the Oklahoma State assistant coach agreed with the Adidas guy, said to pay him, you know, gave him the money, whatever the case may be, or Louisville, you know, dropping the money in a magazine and dropping it off at the hotel, whatever the case may be. If there is something directly linking them, then there's trouble. So, I mean, and once again, even if you want to go even bigger picture to make our heads even explode more, you know, it's just the whole sport in general. I mean, why is this breaking NCAA rules? It's because the NCAA says it's amateurism rule. But why are those the rules? I mean, why are these players not allowed to get paid? I mean, all those sorts of things. So, I mean, we can go even a step farther and keep going and going on and on. But the bottom line is that these coaches, and the top of the top coaches, you would assume they want to keep themselves distanced from these payments, even if they know that they're occurring, because of exactly what's happening right here. I mean, if they turn their head to the side and somebody else does something and they don't have any direct knowledge of it, then they're probably fine with it, because like we're talking about, the FBI is, or the government is trying to allege that these schools are the ones that are victimized, the victim of this Adidas paying of players. And if we're being honest, I mean, why are they victims? I mean, Billy Preston came to Kansas. Sylvia DeSosa came to Kansas. I mean, how is Kansas victimized by that? It doesn't seem to jive with what reality is. But as I said, I think if we're talking about this on an intelligent level, most of these big-time programs have some indication that this is going on, but they don't link themselves to it. And so the linking of themselves to it is where you would be scared if you were an athletic department, or scared if you were an assistant coach, that somewhere, somehow, in testimony, wiretaps, whatever, that you got directly linked to these payments, and that's not a place you want to be. So when I say that Kansas is in the clear, or so far what's come out for Kansas has been positive news, positive news is that they have not been linked directly to these payments to the Adidas reps, and that the Adidas reps right now have said that they did not talk to Curtis Townsend and Bill Self about these payments, and they had no knowledge of it. And that for KU is a good thing, because even if we guess or assume, and there's no way of us knowing, but even if we guess or assume that the coaches knew about those payments, the fact that they're not directly tied to them in a very official, legal, damning manner, then we can only speculate. And if you can only speculate, then that's not going to really lead to any sort of punishment for KU down the line. So I think that's where you're at with college basketball, and that's the reason that that this whole thing is kind of opening everyone's eyes to the process and what happens. And maybe that there really has to be some sort of change moving forward, because if this is what's happening and coaches are sort of getting away with it just because they turn their head to the side, that really isn't a way of dealing with the problem that that seems to be kind of widespread. And maybe the problem is that these players just deserve to get paid their market value, and that's the way to move on forward. But that's not the rules that are in place right now, and that's the reason that this whole thing has kind of gotten blown up.
So, Jesse, I want to ask you about the Jayhawks on the court real quick before you go, particularly about Dedrick Lawson. Bill Self, he's said he's the best passer they've ever had at Kansas, and this is before the guy's played a game for Kansas. Obviously, he played for Memphis before, but is he the guy who, with all of this depth and all this star power that KU has, might be the standout or a standout?
Yeah, I think he should be the pick for preseason Big 12 Player of the Year, and that's just based off of what he's done at Memphis. You know, he averaged 19 points and 10 rebounds his last year there, and then exactly as you said, the way Bill Self talked about him, saying he's, you know, the best passer they've ever had. You know, he glows about him. This was a side note, and he was not comparing him to Larry Bird, but he made a favorable comparison to him, saying that everybody always said that Larry Bird was slow, but Larry Bird would have a quick first step, and it was kind of deceiving. And, you know, while Dedrick might not be fast, he can be quick. And so he continues to rave about Dedrick Lawson. And the other part about this is we've seen players like this thrive under Bill Self before. And the closest example you probably come to is Marcus Morris. And you remember that 2010, 2011 season where he was just dominant in the mid-range, and he has brother Markeith he could throw it to. And, you know, Dedrick has kind of a similar type player, and Udoka Azubuike that can take some pressure off of him offensively inside. But, you know, if you can pass, if you can rebound, if you can defend, and Bill Self is saying all these glowing things about you, and you've proven you can produce at the college level already, then, yeah, I think absolutely he's the guy that for KU is going to have the highest expectations placed upon him. And would be my pick for preseason Big 12 Player of the Year. And actually, I have a story coming out about him tomorrow on Kansas.com, KansasCity.com. Hopefully people can check out. But he's also kind of being asked to take on a leadership role, too. It's kind of interesting with this Kansas team because, you know, if you think back to the leaders from the last few years, it's been guys that have been developing the program and been there a few years, especially Devontae Graham. But, you know, talking with Dedrick last year, there were times when he sat out in his year that Devontae would come up to him and say, "Hey, next year you have to be the leader in boot camp. Next year you have to tell the guys about what coach is saying." So it's kind of interesting that even a year ago, that Devontae Graham could kind of see in the future, knew that his time was ending, and also knew that the most natural leader that Kansas had was Dedrick Lawson. So that's kind of a rare thing because he's played exactly 0 minutes for Kansas in a regular season, but he's going to be asked to be not only a kind of a go-to guy offensively, but kind of a vocal player, and then also a leader on this year's team with some young guys and also some older guys who don't really speak up much, like Udoka Azubuike and Legero Vick. So, yeah, I think the highest of expectations will be on Dedrick Lawson this year, and we'll see how he performs.
All right, the second coming of Larry Bird. That's what I heard you say. Thanks, Jesse. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely not what I said. Yeah.
We appreciate your time. Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Boy. Complicated topic, makes you wonder what in the world we should do with college athletics.
I don't think anything's going to come of this.
I don't know. Back in a moment, we'll talk to Larry Weigel. He played college basketball at Kansas State for the one and only Tex Winter, who passed away yesterday at the age of 96. We'll get Larry's memories of that experience after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.